Okay, let's get started with Chulin Daf Gimel. We are on Beis Amabeis, towards the bottom of the Amud, second to last line. Hai Tamei De'itma. If you remember the first day, by the way, we are broadcasting from Camp Kaylee in Wurzbarre, New York, and Bezrat Hashem will be giving the Daf every morning. So Bezrat Hashem, it'll be uploaded morning time, USA time. Eastern Standard Time. So those in Eretz Yisrael will have to wait an extra couple hours for the summer. But Be'ez Hashem, hope to get it up every morning. Okay, but we started on Monday, Chulin Daf Beis. We spoke about the mitzvah of Shechita, or whether there is a mitzvah of Shechita, Machlokas Ramam Ravid, mitzvah versus Matir. We spoke about the issue of women in Shechita. That was the first Tosfos in the Masechta. And Chereshot V'Katan. What about the issue of Bracha? L'chadchila, we make a Bracha beforehand. What if somebody is not a Bar Hachi to make a Bracha? If somebody is deaf, are they allowed to Shecht? We said we paskel L'chadchila not, because L'chadchila, we paskin the ishtis, concept of hashma ala aznav, one has to hear the bracha that they make, but the avid, if he doesn't hear it, or even a cheresh, as was discussed in the rush on Monday, we said it is okay. But then we got into the discussion of how exactly to understand the Mishnah, because the Mishnah has two lines. The first line of the Mishnah seems to be a lashon of lechadchila, hakol shochtin, anybody could shecht, shecht lechadchila. And then the very next line is Shechitas and Kshera. B'diavad, if they did it, it's kosher. So how do you read the first four words of the Mishnah? That's going to be the first blot and a half of the Masechta. How to read the first two lines of the Mishnah. But not just the first two lines. Once we explain the first two lines of Hakol Shochtim, which is the Lashon of Lechadchila, and Shechitas and Kshera, which is the Lashon of B'diavad, whatever those two phrases are talking about, we have to fit in the rest of the Mishnah, which then has two extra lines. First, the Mishnah said, and we just have to keep this structure clear in our heads, because we are going to have six different suggestions in the Gemara, what exactly, how to understand the Mishnah, and who the Mishnah is talking about. So, again, the first line is, anybody can shecht. The next line is, and if they shecht it, it's okay. Shechitas and Kshera. The next line, except for a Chereshot of a Katan, for a deaf mute, for somebody who's mentally not stable, not doesn't have the abilities, and a katan. So they're excluded, because they might mess up the shechita. Shem yikakul shechitasan. But that's line three. So lechadchila b'diavad chereshot v'katan, and line four v'kulon sheshachtu v'yachirim ro'no son shechitasan kshera. But if they did shecht and people are watching them while they shecht, so then it's okay. Then it's kasher. That's the fourth line of the Mishnah. So is that referring back to the previous line? We're going to see that's difficult in the language of the words to say it's referring back to the previous line, because if it's referring to the previous line, it should have just said, if they shechted, except for a chereshot v'katan, and if they shechted, but it sounds like we're referring to a new factor. Anybody, v'kulan sheshachtu, even though, as long as someone's watching them, then shechitas and kshera. So that is what our challenge is on today's daf, to understand what exactly pashut pshat of the Mishnah. What is the first Mishnah in Chulin telling us? How should we understand the four lines of the Mishnah? Again, L'chadchila, B'di'eved, the exclusion of Chereshot of a Katan, and then the fourth line, as long as somebody's watching, so then it is okay. So we had the first possibility on Daf Beis. The first possibility, which we're going to continue talking about now, was Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba Bar Ula, if you remember, was on the 12th line or so of Beis Mabeis. Rabba Bar Ula said, it's referring to somebody who is Tamei. And you have to add in a bunch of words to the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah says, anybody could shecht. That means if a tummy person is shechting a chulin animal, a non-consecrated animal. So, lechadchila, right, a tummy person, I'm a Yisrael, and I don't have to work in the base of Migdash, I don't have to eat patara. So, if I'm tummy, I could shecht an animal to eat for supper. That's the first line of the Mishnah, kol shochten. The next line of the Mishnah is, but if you're tamei shechting a karbon, you really shouldn't shecht the karbon, because you might make it tamei. But b'di'evit, if you did without making it tamei, it's okay. So what does that mean? If you had a really long knife, if you have a sak and arucha, so you didn't, if the tamei person did not touch the animal, said b'di'evit, it's okay. That was line two. We discussed in the Tosfos on the bottom, how is that possible? A tamei person is not allowed to go into the base of Mikdash. Maybe this is a riot to the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no Isser of a Tamei being in the Beis HaMikdash, but just going into the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe we're talking about a person who became Tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a suggestion that we had in the second half of Tosfos Dibur Maschil Shema. But that is all the first shot of how to read the Mishnah. We're talking about a Tamei person, Lechadchila he can shecht chulin, b'di'evit if he shecht kachim, it's okay. If a Chereshot of a Katan does it, so then it's not good, because maybe he messed up. Maybe as we discussed, there are a number of psulei shechita which are not all recognizable after the shechita. Right? One of the ways just to mention shehiyah, we mentioned if maybe he took a break in the middle of the shechita, drasa, if he karate chopped the animal instead of going back and forth, which is the way that a shechita should occur, you have to go with a back and forth motion, and not just trampling it, drasa. Okay, we'll talk about all of the five psula shechita many times as it comes up in the Masechta. So that's the third line of the Mishnah, that a farshat of a katan would not be trusted if we don't know. But the fourth line of the Mishnah was, but if anybody does it and we're watching them, so then shechitasan is kasha. So we said, what's that referring to? So he said that's referring to the tamei bechulin, and they are not there that we could ask them exactly whether they made the animal tamei or not. Okay, that was just all review. That was the first suggestion of the Gemara. So we're just going to ask a kasha on that now to try to figure out exactly if it works. So we're on the second to last line. Hai tamei de'itma b'mai. Right, Beis Mabeis now. This tummy, we said, what's this first suggestion of the Mishnah? We're talking about a tummy person who shechted. Lechad chilo, they could check the chulin animal. But the Eved, they could check the carbon as long as they're not being matami the carbon. Right, if they're using a very long knife and they're very skilled, it's pretty hard to shecht even with a short knife. But if somebody has the animal's all the way over there and have a long knife and maybe somebody else is holding the animal for me, and then I take a knife and go like this, back and forth, and I shecht the simanim, which is somewhat challenging because, remember, as we know, the shechita is not from the back of the animal, which might make it easier. Just put the knife on top of the neck, and you cut it. That's us. That's called arifa. That's what we do to an egla arufa. We break the back of its neck. But an animal has to be shechted from the neck, from the soft part, from the simanim, from the windpipe and the food pipe. So it's challenging. But whatever the case is, that's the mitzvah. So what level of tuma is this person? Haytami de itma b'mai. How did he become tamei? What are we talking about? So, ilema de itmi b'meis. Are we talking about the most obvious one, the one that we suggest, and that is tamei meis, right? A person who touched a dead body, or a person who was in a house of somebody who's tamei, or a person who carried tumah. Those are the three ways that you can become tamei from a tamei meis: touching maga masa, carrying, or being in the ohel of a meis. So, are we talking about somebody who's tamei meis? So then what? What level of tumah is the person? Let's say somebody touches a dead body. So as we know, a dead body is the granddaddy of all tumah, avi avos ha-tumah, the most tummy thing in the universe. If somebody touches that, they become an avatumah. So let's say that's the case. If somebody's an avatumah, so then the Gemara says that doesn't work. Because what we say, as long as they use the long knife, it's okay, they're not making the animal tummy. Doesn't work if the person's tummy makes. Why? Because this week's parsha, b'chal al-cherev amarachmana, Cherev Hari Hukachalo, says the Gemara. This comes up a number of places in Shas. Even though normally, 98% of the time, the principle by Tumah is that Tumah is transferred down, and Av makes if an Av Tumah touches something, that becomes a Rishon. A Rishon becomes a Sheni. And Avi Avos becomes an Av. Usually Tumah is transferred down. There are one or two, at least two exceptions. We'll mention one now. One exception is Cherev Hari Hukachalo. What does that mean? That means if a Tameh Mace touches a metal sword, could be other materials also, Machlokas Rishonim, but at least a metal sword, the halacha is, the case in the discussion of the parsha is, let's say somebody, Reuven stabbed Shimon. So if Reuven stabbed Shimon with a sword, so Reuven is touching Shimon now, Shimon is dead, he's touching it with a sword, so I might have thought that Shimon is dead. He's the Avi Avos HaTumah. The sword is one step removed. That's the Av HaTumah. And then the Reuven holding the sword is a Rishon. That's not true. The Chiddush of the Torah in this week's Parsha is that the sword itself has the status of a dead body. It doesn't go down. That's called Cherev Hari Hukachalo. The sword is just like the corpse. Chalo is a corpse. Cherev Hari Hukachalo. So therefore, says the Gemara, that applies to metal objects. So if we're talking about tamei meis, so just like if a person is tamei meis, so then the sword is going to be tamei meis. So what's going to happen? So the sword, I'm using a long knife to shecht the animal, so the animal becomes tamei from the sword. So what's the whole suggestion? Oh, lechad chila, you could shecht chulin, but by kachim, I shouldn't do a lechad chila because I might make the animal tamei. But the evidence, though, as long as I use a long knife, I don't make the animal tamei, it's okay. But here you make the animal tamei. If we're talking about a person who's tamei meis, somebody touched a dead body and he's holding a sword, then the sword is also tamei meis. So the animal's going to become tamei from the av hatumah, from the sword. So the Gemara, let's just read the Gemara again. So charev charev haryukachalo avatumahu. That's an avatuma, and therefore letame lasakin. Let the person make the sakin tame. That's what's going to happen. Vazal sakin v'tamisi labasar. And then the knife's going to go and make the basar tame. So that's the Gemara's question. So what are we talking about? We can't be talking about somebody who's tamei mace. So therefore, Ella, let's finish and then we'll talk more about it. Ella d'itma b'sheretz. So what we must be talking about is that the person became tamei through a sheretz. So we know the first perek in Maseches Kalim lists off all of the avos hatumos. There are 10 or so avos hatumos. One of them is a recently dead insect. A sheretz. If it's all dried out, it died last week, so then it's not the tummy anymore. But if it's a recently dead insect, it's still moist, and then a person, that's an avatuma. So if a person touches it, so then they become tummy. Cherev harika chalo does not apply by sheretz. It only applies by tummy mace. So therefore, if a person became tummy through a sheretz, and they're touching the knife, and the knife's touching the carbon, so that is okay. Lechad chila, we say no, because we're worried that he himself might touch the animal, but if he uses a long knife, b'di'eved, it is okay. Okay, that is all one suggestion, how it can be, what the mitzias is of the Mishnah. Before we do the next suggestion, there is an important Ramban in this week's Parsha. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim, but it's this week's Parsha, so I might as well mention it. By the way, hopefully tonight will be the Parsha Shir, and hopefully it'll be uploaded by late tonight. Usually, hopefully it'll be on Tuesday nights, but this week, because of the schedule of camp, it'll be on Wednesday night. The Ramban in this week's Parsha, which has the source, in Perek Yutes Pasuk Tes Zayin of Cherev Harika Chalo, suggests, and this is a discussion that we've shown him, that he does not think that cherev is exactly like chalo. He thinks there are certain differences between a sword and a dead body itself, even though they're both avos atumos, avi avos atumos, but the Ramban says he thinks there's a little difference. He says, if cherev harika chalo really, he doesn't think the cherev makes a house tame. A dead body makes a whole house tame. If you have the sword in the house, he doesn't think you make a tame. Why? He says, because that kohen wouldn't be able to go into anybody's house. Because you probably have certain metal items that became tame mace in their history, and kohen wouldn't be able to ever go in. So, in my opinion, says the Ramban, I don't think cherev harika chalo is in regard to Tumas Ohel, number one. And number two, if a person touches just a sword, not the dead body, I don't think he has to go through the whole process of being sprinkled with the Paraduma on day 3 and day 7 in the Tara process. He doesn't think it's so extreme. In certain regards, it's Cherev Harika Chalo, it makes the person Tameh, but not for all halachas. And then, very uncharacteristically, the Ramban, at the end of this piece, Ramban is a Pashtun on Chumash. He tells you what Pshad, and a Pasagin, he tells you what the halacha is, but then he adds a Tefillah. At the end of this discussion, he says, "V'anachnu ba'avonoseinu." The Ramban who lived in Spain, he came to Eretz Yisrael towards the end of his life. We know we have the Ramban Shul in Yerushalayim. He came to Akko. He writes the end of the Ramban's commentary on Chumash. Now some of it is put into the actual text, but he writes that he thought, this is what I think a Machzor HaShekel looks like. And he says, I came to Eretz Yisrael and I see it looks a little different. So he writes, he changes some of his pshatim because he says, what the coins look like. They're about at the end of his piece here says, V'yanachnu ba'avonoseinu t'me'e ha'galus v'lo yadanu b'taras ha'kodesh. We're all tamei. We're not going to know what Tara is. Ad ye'era aleinu ruach mimarom v'yizro kashem aleinu mayim tahorim v'nitar. Amen k'ni hiratzon v'meherav yameinu. Amazing. Ramban says it. This week's Parsha. So you can say that tefillah at the Shabbos table. Ramban says that he has a tefillah that cherev harika chalo could be lamaisa. We don't have any halachas tumin tara right now. Okay, so weiter. So the Gemara says, how did he become tameh here? This is the first suggestion. So number one was tameh sheretz. V'iba yaseimer, we're still in, third line, we're still in the world of answer number one to the Mishnah. What is the pshat of the Mishnah? So we're going to be in the first answer for another two lines. But first, we're still in what does tameh mean? So first pshat of tameh was tameh sheretz. V'iba yaseimer, or the other way out of it is, la'olam d'itmi b'meis. Really, he was tameh meis. The person who's shackling is tameh meis. He's tameh meis. So if he's tameh meis, so didn't he make the sword tameh, the knife, and then the knife would make the carbon tameh? So why do we say it's okay? B'di'eved. So ukegon shebadak bikromish al kana. The case is you didn't use a knife. You could use dushchita with any sharp instrument. So let's say you took a piece of sharp wood. Kromish al kana, a reed. Reed, you use the sharp reed. That's what you use. B'shachat ba. and you shechted with it. Titania, the Bryce says later on, we'll see it. Bakol shochted, you can use anything to shechted with. Bein bitzur, a flint, a piece of rock, bein besluchis, with a piece of glass, bein bekromer shalkana, anything sharp, period. That's the end of the first answer. End of the first approach of the Mishnah. But what is this second idea saying? The second idea is like, you didn't use a metal knife. So you use a metal knife. So even if you're tummy mace, it's not going to make the item tummy. Why? This is the principle, Rashi says. Rashi says this is the principle of... Where's the Rashi? It's about the 15th skinny line or so. Pshute kliates, below makabli tumma. The halach is, if you have a flat piece of wood that's sharp, but it's flat, it does not have a receptacle area. It doesn't have what's called a base kibble. So then, it is not makabli tumma. So that's what you used here. You use a flat piece of wood. So again, let's just plug that into the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if you are tummy and you're using a flat piece of wood for chulin, no problem. For the next line, for kachim l'chadchilu, you shouldn't use it, but with the evidence, okay. And then we go into the exceptions of Chereshot, Fakatad, Vechulu. There is a big problem that Tosas deals with, this big Tosas on top, and that is, we're talking about Kachim here, at least on a Bidyeva level. Are you allowed to use a piece of wood to shecht a carbon with? You don't have to use a knife? You don't have to use a kli for shechting a carbon? So this is a shear that we had a couple of months ago. If you remember, we had a Tuesday night shear, a Daf Ian shear, relating to the major machlokas Rishonim. What do you need for shechita? We know the Gemara says in a few places, shechita lav avodahi, by kachim. Shechita is unlike the rest of the avodos, in that the last three avodos kohanim have to do. Shechita, a zar could do. If anybody's Yisrael, they could do shechita. So shechita is at a different level than the other avodos. Does that mean that you don't need a kli? So we had a shear about it then, but we related to some of the shechitas over here. Tosfos says, v'im tomar, top Tosfos, v'hech yishka b'krobo shalkanava, bein and kli. How can you use a piece of wood? You need to use a kli. Muchach b'sofa tod, like it says, those of you have been learning Menachos, we had about a month ago, the beginning of Perek HaTodah, that you need a kli. The Gemara there says that how do you know what's the source that you need a kli for kachim? The Akedah. Avram Avinu took a kli to shecht Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a carbonola. So you see that you have to use a kli. So he says, maybe it means you took a piece of wood and you fashioned it into a kli. Meaning it's a flat piece of wood, but you fashioned it so it's good enough. Later on in Tosas, about 20 lines down, he quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim, which we discussed, who holds, no, in a chinami. You don't need a kli. Any source that says you need a kli, you know, doesn't, we have to reread. But just to mention, the one Shita that's here, all these shittas and Tosfos are all mentioned in other places in Shas. The one shita that's here that's nowhere else in Shas is the Ritva. The Ritva, I don't know if we had a Ritva yesterday, but the Ritva in Chulin is a tzarach gadol. We mentioned you have to have a Rambam in Sefer Kedusha or Hilchos Shechita. The Ritva is very important. And as we go through, the Rosh obviously in the back is also extremely important on Chulin. So the Ritva here comes up with a middle approach. The Ritva says you need a kli, but not a full kli sharis. Right, he makes up his own halachic category. Ava mechuver yoser desakun du mukdashin kli sharisu lakadesh hadam psas umiyu lafi she'ein shchita ma'akeves hakodesh sharik sheir b'zar mubsulam eno gomeres kedushas dam lagamri ad kabalaso. The knife, the shchita, starts the hakdash of the animal, but doesn't complete it. It's a little holy. It's a little klisharis, but not a full klisharis like the bowls and the spoons and the other klisharis of the base of Mikdash. El al karkach boy lomar she'inatuna klisharis gomor lipasol biyotze v'nafkamina she'osir oso ala eitz. That's what he says. But again, this is the issue that the Rishonim are struggling with, whether a klish, what you need for shchita, because the pashas of the Gemara here is that you don't need. You just use a piece of wood from a shulchanah. That's the pashas. The Rishonim have to reread that and say what it really means is a piece of wood that you fashioned or something else. Okay. Weiter. So we are now up to number two. Abaya, fifth line. Abaya is number two. Number two, again, what's the pshat of the Mishnah? Again, the Mishnah says, l'chadchila, yes, b'dieved. B'dieved only, but not l'chadchila, chereshot v'katan, and as long as somebody's watching. Remember the four lines that we said in the Mishnah. So Abaya Amar HaChiktani. This is number two. This is what the Mishnah means. Hakol shochtin v'afilu kusi. The first line of the Mishnah is anybody can check even a kusi. Who's a kusi? So sometimes in the Rishonim, kusi just means non-Jew. But in Chazal, in the Gemara, most of the time, and here as well, kusim are, if you remember the story in Tanakh, the Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, he removed certain Jews from an area in Eretz Yisrael, and because he wanted to populate that area, he put in a bunch of non-Jewish nation, called the Kusim, into that area in Eretz Yisrael. They were not halachically behaving. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a group of lions to take care of this nation. And they were so scared when they saw these lions that they started screaming. And they said, okay, we're going to convert, we're going to convert, we're going to become Jewish. Right, so that's, they converted. So the question is that an acceptable conversion? Kusim are called Gerei Arayos, right? Gerim because of the lions. There's a Machlokas Tanoim, whether these Kusim are considered Gerei Arayos or Gerei Emes. Gerei Arayos means they're just because of the lions, but they're not really converted. Or Gerei Emes. There is a big discussion in elsewhere, Mesechas Yevamos, what about conversion for the wrong reasons? Right, the most common case is conversion for marriage. Right, two people are going out and they want to get married, and the rabbi says, well, you got to convert. So that's the worst reason, but does that work b'di'evet? If the person, that might be the wrong motivation, but it could be that if that's the motivation, but they really, you know, work for the next month and months to become Jewish, and they take it seriously, and they commit to following halacha, and the rabbanim involved assume that, so then they might convert them, even though the motivation was not good, but the decision, and once they do it, that might be good. So that's the similar discussion here. I mean, related discussion about the kusim. The problem is by the kusim, even their acceptance might not have been good. As we'll see later on, I'll mention it now already, but later on in three days from now, the Rush points it out right here, that at a later point in history, Chazal said kusim had the status of Goyim. Because they realized that, even though maybe originally there was a machlokas tanam about it, but later on they saw the kusim acting in a certain way, violating Avodah Zarah. So nowadays the kusim are treated like Goyim. We don't have kusim b'zman hazeh, right? Sancheriv was also b'valbo all the nations. We don't have an Amaleki. We don't have biological Amaleki. We don't have Kanani, Chiti, Amori. We don't have all the nations nowadays. Somebody comes over to me and says, "I'm a Chiti in the Eretz Yisrael. I have no mitzvah to kill them." Right, because I have to say, I don't trust you. Right, there's no status b'zman hazeh. But the Rush says right here that maskin l'kaman de'bedoras achronim asa'um ka'ovdei kochav gemurim. Okay, they're like, but this Gemara right now, Abai is talking about pre that stage. Okay, so Abai Amar Hachigtani hakol shochted afilu kusi. Anybody could shecht even a kusi because Abai is going within the shita of the kusim or gerei emes, and even though a non-Jew is not allowed to shecht. And his shechita is puzzle. We mentioned this yesterday. And his shechita is puzzle. Even if he shechts. Let's say we're watching a guy shecht. And he does it perfectly. You know what? That animal is an avela. You're not allowed to eat it. Because he's not included in the world of shechita. And a guy is not allowed to shecht. We'll talk about this. The Mishnah will talk about it later. But a kusi, Abaye holds a kusi geshecht. Luchadchila. Bamed v'ramamurim. When do we say this? So you have to add on all these words to the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah is, Bamed v'ramamurim. Kishe Yisrael omid al gabav. When a Jew is there. When a Jew is watching, aval yotzei v'nichnas lo yishchot. But what if he's just going in and out? He's just walking in and out, as we have a mashgiach yotzei v'nichnas. So then lechadchila, we should not allow a kusi to shecht with yotzei v'nichnas. Right? That's the second line of the Mishnah. V'im shachat, and if he shechted, b'di'evet, it's okay under the following conditions: choteich kizayis basar v'dosein lo. Cut off a piece of the meat and give it to the kusi first. Let him try it first. Achlo mutar lecha b'shechitaso. If he eats it, then you could eat it. Lo achlo asar lecha b'shechitaso. If not, not. Why not? Because Rashi quotes here from elsewhere that the kusim, even according to the opinion that says the kusim were emesdik, they didn't, were not choshesh for the isra of lifnei iver. For themselves, they would keep halacha, but they wouldn't care about lifnei iver to the other person. They wouldn't care about causing other people to do an aveira. Right, so that's what Rashi quotes here from the end of Dibur HaMaschil via Filu Kusis. So that's why you have to make him try it first. So if he eats the piece of meat, then you can eat the piece of meat. But if he doesn't want to eat it, then we're worried that he he is violating Lifnei Iver. So let's just continue this whole answer, and then we will talk about Lifnei Iver a little bit. So that's the Kusis. That's the first line. The first line of the Mishnah is that a Kusik is shecht as long as a Jew is watching him. The second line is, if there's no Jew watching him, then it's no good unless he tries a piece of meat first. Fine. Next, third line of the Mishnah. Chutz mi cherishot of a katan. Ziafilu dieven namilo. Except for a cherishot of a katan, this doesn't work if you're just Yosef v'nichnas. And you didn't see him shecht. Why? Because Sheba Yishu. Maybe he didn't do the shechita properly, and you can't tell afterwards. Maybe he took a break in the middle of the shechita. Shema Yidrusu. Maybe he karate chopped the animal instead of going back and forth. Shema Yachlidu. Yachlidu chalada is, we mentioned yesterday also, he puts the knife in between the simanim and shechts up. Instead of like a chulda is a weasel that goes underneath. So chalada is if you take the knife and you sheft up instead of going on top. And you go, meaning at least in front of the simanim and shechting. So that's why, that's line 3 of the Mishnah, that you can't let a charish of a katan do it unless they're being witnessed. Fourth line, the kulan sheshachtu. Ahai. The fourth line, what was the fourth line, remember? Anybody who shechts, as long as they're being watched, it's okay. So what is that line referring to? Which of the previous lines? So, if it's referring to Chereshot of a Katan, the previous line of the Mishnah, Alakai. But instead it's referring to that, so then the language of the Mishnah, it doesn't make sense. If they shecht, it should say. It shouldn't say, and anybody. What do you mean, and anybody? We're talking about these people. If they shecht, Mibayle. So, Elakusi. So maybe it's referring back to the earlier part of the Mishnah. We're talking about a Kusi. Right, and what's this last line then of the Mishnah saying? A kusi, as long as somebody's watching them, it's okay. Ha'amr kishi Yisrael omen al gav v'shach l'afi l'chachila. But we said in the first line of the Mishnah that if a Jew's watching, they can even shach l'chachila, not just b'di'evad. Kasha. So, no answer given. Abaya is difficult. This is his answer, but it doesn't really fit in perfectly to the Mishnah. We'll get back to this problem a little later. Just one other point, and that is the Rashi pointed out that they don't hold of Ulfdeiver. Why don't they hold of Ulfdeiver, the Kusim? Well, they hold of all Averis, all 364. But the 365th Avera, they don't hold of. Why? So Rashi says, because they explain the Pasuk as Pshuto Shel Mikra. Lifdeiver lo sitein mechshol. If you see somebody who's blind, don't put a rock in front of him. Make him trip. That's how they understand. They don't hold of the drasha. What is it? In front of somebody who's blind in the halachic world, don't help them do an Avera. That's what we say it means also. They just take a pasha pshat. That's why they don't think it's an avera. It's not like they're doing it lahachis. They just don't think there's anything. So they think they're being a bad guy, but they don't think they're violating halacha by causing somebody to do an avera. Right? They just think they're being a bad guy. But that is what Rashi holds. We mentioned in the past, I think last summer, we had a shir about lifnei iver, the ha'ara that the Minchas Chinuch has. Minchas Chinuch points out that if you look in the Rambam, if you look in the Chinuch, they don't quote the pasha pshat of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. If you look in the Yisr, the Chinuch in Reish Lamed Beis, where he talks about shalahach shol tam baderech, so he says you're not allowed to give somebody bad advice, and you're not allowed to cause somebody to do an avera. They don't quote, don't put a rock in front of somebody who's blind. The pashup shot. So obviously that's a bad thing to do, and obviously it's a violation of the yathlerecha kamocha. But is it included in lifnei iver? The Rambam does not quote it. The Chinuch does not quote it. The Minchas Chinuch leaves a bitzarachi and says I don't understand why. Why isn't it quoted in the Rambam and the Chinuch? It's the Pasha Pshat. The Gemara says in Yevamos that there is only one exception to the rule of Ein HaMikra Yosef B'Dei Pshuta, and this is not it. The Ein HaMikra Yosef B'Dei Pshuta means no matter how many levels of Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk, there's always the Pasha level. The Pasha level is you can't put a rock in front of somebody who's blind. So that's why the Minchas Chinuch in Reish Lamed Beis in Os Dalit or Os Hay, I think this is Os Hay, he says, I don't understand it. I don't understand why they don't quote it, and I think it is awesome. Yikom akom did zeh gamkin emes to asal hashal iver baderech v'lo yadati minayin dezeh amafurish ina b'chalav. I don't understand. And if you look at Rashi on the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, lifnei iver, Rashi says, don't give somebody bad advice. Rashi always gives the pshat, right? So we discussed this a couple last week in the daf. What the Rashbam says, Rashi is always pasha pshat. So if you look at the clay, I think we mentioned this in a Parshas year a couple years ago. The clay yucker says, no, you got to look at the pasuk closely. And it is Pasha Pshat. The Pasuk says, Lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol, v'yareisa mi'alokecha ani Hashem. In front of a son who's blind, don't put a rock, and fear God, I am God. Fear your God, I am God. What does that last phrase mean, I am God? So Rashi always quotes that it means that even if nobody else knows it's an Avera, I know it's an Avera. Ani Hashem. So says the Klei Yakar beautifully. If I put a rock in front of somebody who's blind, and they trip on it, do I need a big chachap to realize that I did something terrible? Of course not. The fact that the Pasuk says at the end, Ani Hashem, means that the previous part of the Pasuk must be telling me something deeper. Not just putting a rock in front of somebody who's blind, but it must be something deeper, meaning giving bad advice, or helping somebody, being involved in somebody doing an Avera. So that's what the Klei Yakar says to Ani. The Klei Yakar was before the Minchas Chinuch. The Klei Yakar was the 1500s. The Minchas Chinuch was 1800s. But the Klei Yakar answered the Minchas Chinuch's Kasha by saying that, because of the phrase Ani Hashem, that's why this is a Pasha Pshat is not just putting a rock in front of a blind person, but it's also giving bad advice. Okay. Now we're gonna move a little bit. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rava. So we're still within the world of answer number 2, but we're gonna try to discuss a little bit Abaya's answer. Amar Rava. Okay. Amar Rava, v'yotzei v'decha zachachila lo, by, if somebody is Yosef Nechnas, what did we just say? By a kusi, lachanchilo, you need the Jew standing above them. But Yosef Nechnas is not good enough, lachanchilo lo, but vahotna, didn't we learn the Mishnah about a Zara? Haminiach ovid kochavid bachanuso, v'Yisrael Yosef Nechnas mutter. We know the halacha is that a non-Jew is not allowed to touch uncooked wine of a Jew. Yain mavush, it's got, if it's yain mavushal, if it's cooked wine, no problem. But if a non-Jew just touches it, Let's say I was once at a restaurant, and the law was that the rule in the restaurant was that if anybody gets fancy wines, so the a non-Jew is not allowed to pour it, because if a non-Jew pours a wine, touches a bottle of wine that's open, it's nothing. So the rule was that they just bring the bottle of wine to the table, and then the customers, the Jew, they have to open it, the double seal, and then they pour. Fine. So this is what I remember. I was witnessing this. I'm not always such a fancy wine drinker, so I didn't have the wine on my table. I saw on the other table they brought the wine, and then the customers opened it, and fine, they're pouring the wine. All of a sudden, the waiter comes to bring the next course, and there was not much room on the table. So he picks up the bottle of wine to move it to the other side to be able to put the food there, and then he left. I'm like, oh man. So the person there didn't. I mean, I knew the person at the other table, so I just measured it. So I said, maybe just ask the mashgiach exactly what to do, because we paskin really that if the non-Jew moves the wine that's open, you know, even if we know he didn't pour it, and he moved it directly. If he didn't move it directly, maybe there's some coolers. If it was an open in the door of the fridge, and he opened the fridge, so it's not a direct movement. It's the movement of the fridge door, and if you don't know. They're at Stadim, but here, mom, if she moved it directly, so it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Anyway, this is the halacha. The Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, if a Jew leaves a guy in the store with wine, and he goes out, in and out, Yosef Nechnas, could I trust that the non-Jew did not move any of my bottles of wine? The halacha is yes. It's okay, lechadchila, it sounds like. Hameniach. Okay, lechadchila. So ask the Gemara, how can we say that by a kusi Yosef Nechnas is only okay but the Eved? You see, by a guy even, it's okay lechadchila. So the Gemara says, no, hasa miktani meniach. Does it say meniach, which is the language of lechadchila? Hameniach ktani, the Eved. It says hameniach, one who leaves. But it's also but the Eved. You know, lechadchila is also no good. Yosef Nechnas is not good enough. So the Gemara says, okay, elameacha, what about this? This phrase from Avodah Zarah. This one is lechadchila. Ein hashomer tzarach lios yoshev u'mishamer. The shomer, the guard, does not have to be sit there and guard a whole time. Elav abish yosef nechnas mutter. That's beferish. That's the lashon of lechadchila. So we reject Abaya. So now we're up to number three. Ella. Ella always means a new answer. Ella amar Rava, third answer. Hachitani. Rava is going to be very similar, but he's just going to change a little detail. Third answer. Ella amar Rava hachitani. Hakol shochtin v'afilu kusi. Bamedim ramamurim. K'she Yisrael yotzi v'nechnas. When do we say it is lechadchila? When a Jew is going in and out. Yotzi v'nechnas is okay lechadchila by a kusi. Aval ba umatz osha shachat. But if you found that he shechted already, then what do? As we said earlier, chotek kizayis batzor v'nosin lo. You check it out. You test him. You give him a kizayis of the meat, and he eats it. Achlo mutter lecha mishchitaso. Lo achlo aser lecha mishchitaso. If he eats it, fine. If not, chutz micherasho devakatan ta'afilu di'evan nami lo. Except for a cherasho devakatan, who even b'di'evan we say is no good. Why? Shemiyishu, shemiyidrusuf, shemiyachlidu. Maybe they did one of the psulei shchita, and we don't recognize it. Trying to finish up to know exactly if Rava fits into the rest of the Mishnah. The kulin sheshachtu ahai. What is the fourth line of the Mishnah talking about? Ilei macherisho devakatan. It's referring to the previous line. Alakai. We're talking about that. Vim shachtu mibayle. Same question we said before. The language should be vim shachtu, not vakulin sheshachtu. If referring to just what was discussed earlier. So elakusi. What, we're going back to the previous part of the Mishnah. Ha'amar afili Yosef v'nechnas shach lechadchila. We said even Yosef v'nechnas could shach lechadchila. And what did this fourth line of the Mishnah say? You need somebody standing there. So kasha. So again, just like Rav Abaya ended with a question, Rava also ends with a question. Rava tried to fix it. He tried to say Yosef v'nechnas okay lechadchila, but then the fourth line does not work out. But that is all kasha. I think we've touched on this in the past. The Rashbam in Bava Basra says that kasha always means if you struggle hard enough, you could work out an answer. That's not the strongest word that the Gemara could have used. The Gemara used the word tsyufta. Tsyufta means bomb kasha. Tsyufta usually means unanswerable, and we totally reject it. Kasha is a less lashon. It's not an ironclad rule. There's a Gemara in the first parak in Bava Kama where the Gemara says tsyufta on a shita and then says, yeah, but we pass on like the shita. So, tsyufta, and the Gemara says, tsyufta v'alacha, says, yeah. So, tsyufta is not always a bomb kasha that it's unanswered, but most of the time, tshifta means a stronger question. But here it just says the word kasha. Okay. Period. That's all number three. Just one ha'ara, and then we'll continue. And that is, it's interesting. What does it say by the kusi? You have to give him a kizayas of basar and see if he eats it himself. Why a kizayas? Why not like a tiny piece? What a kizayas is, a full shear. Fine, you have to eat a kizayas for a mitzvah. You have to eat a kizayas to make a bracha achrona. You have to eat a kizayas to violate it for a lister. But even less than a kizayas is chasi shear. It's also asr. I can't eat a half a kizayas of pig. A half a kizayas of treif. It's also asr daraisa. What's he going to say? For some reason, Gemara sees this at Chassam Sofer, makes this hour right here. Chassam Sofer says, maybe the Kusim don't hold up the drush of Chatzi Shir, Asim Na Torah. Because Dafka, the Gemara said, it's a great Ha'ara. Just why does the Gemara say Kizayas? And not less than a Kizayas. Just give him a little bit. But he'll eat Shreif less than a Kizayas? Okay, it's just the Ha'ara of the Chassam Sofer. That is all number three. Now we move on. Number four. Four of six. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi says, Hachiktani. Hakol Shoftin Vafili Yisrael Mumar. What's the Mishnah referring to? And it's amazing. Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe wrote the first Mishnah in Chulin, and he obviously knew what he meant. But the Gemara here, a couple hundred years later, was still trying to figure out what Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi meant when he wrote down the Mishnah. But this is the fourth shot. Ravashi says it means anybody can shecht, even a heretical Jew. Yisrael Mumar, right? A guy can shecht. But a Yisrael Mumar can shecht. The Gemara says, one second. There are two types of heretics. This was called Mumar Litei Avon. Those who learn Sanhedrin are familiar with this. And Mumar Lahachas. Are you a Mumar if you're a heretic? Because, you know what? I would eat kosher meat, but it's not available. So, you have this treif meat here, so I'm going to eat this. That's a Mumar Litei Avon. It's just to satisfy his needs. That's different than a Mumar Lahachas. Lahachas means Lahachas. On purpose, he'll do the Avera. So what are we referring to here? Which type of Mumar? Is Rav Ashi saying, Kitshech Lechachila? So says the Gemara, Mumar Lamai Lech on Avelos Litei Avon. It must be a Mumar to eat Shreif Litei Avon. Meaning, Rashi says in the fourth wide line at the bottom, Kilo Mishka Cheter Achol Nevelos. If he doesn't find anything that's butter, he'll eat Shreif. And if he has a kosher knife and he has kosher meat, so then fine, we're not worried that he's going to dafke eat the treif on purpose. Okay, so that is, we're talking about a mumar v'lati avon. Ukid de Rava, and referring to Rava, like Rava Shita to Amar Rava, Rava says, keep in mind, Gemara is going to pick up on this later, Rava gave a previous answer. Rava gave answer number two. So for some reason, he didn't give this answer number four, which would have fit in beautifully, but Rava was saying, even if you don't hold like my first other answer, you could go like this answer, as we'll see. Anyway, so we're like Rava. What does Rava say? Yisrael Mumar, Ochan Avelos L'Teavon, a Yisrael Mumar, Jewish heretic, who eats treif, who does Averos just for his own satisfaction, Bodek Sakin, V'Nosein Lo. You just check his knife, and V'Nosein Lo, and you're able to give him the animal to shecht, Umoto Lecha Mishkidaso. And you're allowed to eat from his shechita. Meaning, Rava says, Yisrael Mumar Litei Avon is okay. By the way, the Meiri says here, a Mumar doesn't mean one time. Mumar Litei Avon means he does this a lot. At least three, four times. Right? He does not just once. Shelo Nikra Mishumad Ochel Nebelas Litei Avon Ela Kishachazar Alzeh Shnei Pa'amim O Shlosha. Two or three. Hapam Achas Shema Derech Mikre Haya Ukemisha Misave Litom Tam Isser Uparcha Taivasu L'Shaita. Person just couldn't control himself. One time, okay, we all make mistakes one time. But once the two or three times, says the Meiri, that's already a Mumar, so that'll be important. We're going to have a Mishnah later on in Daf Yud Aleph. Somebody who shechts on Shabbos, could that be, is that Shechita kosher, and what type of Mumar is that referring to? So Hashem, we'll get to that. But that's the Meiri, just has the Na'ara. So back to the answer. So the answer is that we're talking about a Yisrael Mumar. So if Yisrael Mumar, if you check the knife, he's allowed to shecht, l'chatchila. That's the first line of the Mishnah. If you check the knife, Yisrael Mumar Keshach L'Chachila. Ava lo badak v'nasan lo. If he did not check his knife, and he shechted, lo yishchad, he shouldn't shech L'Chachila. Because look, you don't know. He's not going to be Toreach for Halacha. And therefore, maybe his knife is not a good knife. V'im shachad botek sakinu achrov. What if he did shecht, and you didn't check the knife beforehand? So then this is the second line of the Mishnah. You can check his knife afterwards. Bodek sakinu acharav, nimse sakinu yafe, as long as you find his knife as appropriate. Meaning, as we know, the knife has to be perfectly smooth. It can't have any pkimas. It can't have any blitos, like going up and down and up and down. So that's what you check the knife for. So if you find the knife good, nipsa sakinu yafe moto lecha mishchidaso, that's okay too, b'dieved. V'yemavasu lecha mishchidaso. So that's the first two lines of the Mishnah, according to this fourth pshat. Again, line one, a mumar, ochan abelas l'tei avon, kishak l'chachila, as long as you check the knife beforehand. B'dieved, as long as you check the knife afterwards. Next line of the Mishnah, Chutz Mi'Cheresh Ad V'Katan, Di'Afilu Di'Eved Na'amilo. This is always all the same, except for Cheresh Ad V'Katan, who you cannot trust even B'Di'Eved. Shema Yishu, Shema Yirusu, Shema Yechlidu. Maybe in all these cases, he did one of the P'sulei Shechita. Again, he delayed, he did Shehiya, he did Drasa. He karate chopped, he went down, and Shema Yechlidu, maybe he put the knife under. That was the third line of the Mishnah. So far, so good. Last line. This last line has caused trouble for the previous opinions. V'kuban sheshachtu ahai. What's that last line referring to? Ilema cherishot v'katan. If referring to alar cherishot v'katan, alakai. What do you mean? We're talking about them. Previous line of the Mishnah. V'im shachtu mibayle. You should just say v'im shachtu. Ela ayisrael mumar. So it must be referring to the previous discussion of the Mishnah. We're talking about that mumar, that heretic. So one second. What does this last line say? As long as somebody's watching them. So one second, eat the badak sakin v'nosin lo. If you check the sakin you gave it to him, ha'amit shokha l'chadchila. That's even l'chadchila. You don't need a person there. El delo badak. And you don't need a person there, l'chadchila. El delo badak. What? You didn't check the knife beforehand? So then again, eat the isil sakin. If the knife is sitting there, live the kehashta. So check now. Check now. And then you don't need a person standing there. V'delesel sakin. And if the knife's not there, ki achirim rono samay havi. Then even if somebody's watching him, if you didn't check the knife at all, dilma b'sakin b'kuma shachit. Maybe he shechted with a bad knife. Kasha. So again, that last line is the torpedo that knocks out this fourth pshat of the Mishnah, this pshat of Rav Ashi. Period. There is a machlokas rishonim. The Ritva says, you see from this Gemara, it sounds like, what about a general shechita? Shochei checks an animal. Does he have to check the knife afterwards? He has to check the knife beforehand. He's a regular guy, regular shochei. Does he have to check the knife afterwards? It sounds like from this Gemara, no. Sounds like it. Why? Because what does it say here? By a mumar, you got to check the knife afterwards. Sounds like it's a special din. Now, look, you could buy a mumar, you should check it beforehand. But if you didn't check it before, you can check it afterwards. But it sounds like normally you don't have to check it afterwards. So that's what the Ritva says. The Rambam says otherwise. The Rambam. Have a Rambam here. The Rambam says beferish and nose to kill and try to figure out where he gets this from. In Shechita Aleph Chavdalid, Vitzarek Livdo Kain Achar Shechita. If the knife is messed up after Shechita, you have to be worried that maybe on the way during Shechita, the knife got a pagima, got ruined, and therefore you didn't shecht properly. So even if you shechted it right before the Shechita, the Rambam says you got to check it right after the Shechita. And the Ravid right here argues. The Ravid says, it's only if you want to shecht again. If you want to shecht again, so then you have to check the knife right afterwards. But otherwise, one does not. Pesach machlokas for showing him whether the knife has to be shechted. The knife has to be checked afterwards. Okay, number five out of six. We're almost there. Ravina Amar. Ravina says Hachi Katani. This is the pshat of the Mishnah. Hakol shochtin, hakol mumchin. Anybody who's shechting, you could assume anybody who's an expert is allowed to shecht. Shochetin u'mumchin bi'afal pishein muchzakin. What does that mean? If we know somebody's an expert shochet, let's say we tested them and we gave them a bechina and they're an expert, they could shecht even though they are not muchzak, even though we have not seen them shecht a bunch of times. Right? Usually, there's something called a shochin muchzak. He's known that he shechted a bunch of times. The first line of the Mishnah is talking about one who's not muchzak. Let's say he's straight out of shechita school. So we know he knows the halachas. We know he's an expert. He's a mumche, but he's not a muchzak. Is he allowed to shecht l'chadchila? Says the Mishnah, yes. That's the first line of the Mishnah. When do you say this? As long as sheyodin bo sheyodei alomer hilcha shechita. As long as you know he knows hilcha shechita. Aval ein yodin bo sheyodei alomer hilcha shechita lo yishchot. But if you don't know, you didn't give him a bechina. So if you didn't give him a bechina and he's on a mochzak, then you can't let him shecht. L'chadchila. Second line of the Mishnah, v'im shachat, both knoso him yodea. And if not, if you didn't know beforehand, then at least check him afterwards. Both knoso, ask him some shailas. Im yodea lo mayach ha-shechita, muter lecha mishchita so. If he knows, then fine. Im lavas lecha mishchita so. Wonderful. So the first two lines of the Mishnah, the first line is, as long as he knows all the halachas, you know he's a mumche, even though he's not a mukhsa. Second line, even if you didn't know beforehand, just check it out afterwards. Let's finish this case, and then we'll come back. Chutz v'cheresh ad v'katan. Again, the third line is always the same. Di'afilu di'eved na'amilo. Except for cheresh ad v'katan, that even b'di'eved, their shechita is no good. Shema yishu, shema yidrusu, shema yachlidu. Maybe they did a psul shechita. V'kulan sheshachtu ahai. What's the fourth line going on? Ilei me'cheresh ad v'katan alakai. If it's referring to cheresh ad v'katan, the previous line of the Mishnah, that's what we were just talking about. V'im shachtu mi'vayle. It should have just said v'im. So, ela ashe'in mumchin. So he must be talking about what we were talking about earlier in the Mishnah. Somebody who is not a mumche. So he's not a mumche, so bebot kenos asaki, so just check him. You don't need to be standing there. So delas lakama delivtake, he's not there. Period. That answer sticks. No kasha given on that answer. The last one of the Mishnah is referring to what it was referring to previously, and he is not there to ask. Period. Just one diuk, I didn't see this pointed out, but it's interesting that, what does it say when we say, check if he knows hilcha shechita? What does it say? It says, im yodea lomar hilcha shechita. It doesn't just say yodea hilcha shechita. Because to know something, if I know it, that's one level. If I have to explain it to somebody, if I have to give a shiur on something, I have to know it so much better. We know whenever you have to give a presentation on something, you got to know that 10 times better than otherwise, right? If you have to give a shiur on something, you got to know that so well. Okay, if I'm learning the daf and I'm learning it for myself, okay, I can know at a certain level. I have to give the daf. If anybody gives it, sometimes you have these chaburas that people give the daf once a week. So the day that they give the daf, they learn it much better because you got to give it. Because that, really, to give it over, that's the highest level of reflection of knowledge. So what does it say here? He has to know Hilcha Shechita, he has to know to say over Hilcha Shechita. Because that's a real knowledge. Yodea lomar Hilcha Shechita. So that's the diak is. I didn't bring it, but there's a Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara in the first Barakah in Brachas, that says, in this, I think on Davav or so, on the Igra Dekala Pirka, in that sugi is that the schar of a fasting and the schar of running to a shir, there's a Rashi, on Vavam Abez, I think it is, that says, the way that you really know something, the way that a Rebbe knows if a Talmud knows something is if the Talmud could repeat it over at a later date. That's a real reflection. If I'm in a shir, if I got the shir, wonderful, but if I can't repeat it over, that means there's still something lacking in my knowledge. That's this. Lomar. Fine. That was all number 5. Number 6, final one, Viga Damre, Ravina Amar Hachiktani. A second Ravina. But Ravina says, Hakol Shochtin is just the opposite. Hakol Muchzakin Shochtin. If he's Muchzak, if we've seen him chef properly a few times, that's the best. Muchzakin Avabish in Mumchin. He's Muchzak even though he is not a Mumche. Even though we didn't ask him beforehand if he knows halachas. As long as he's a muchzak, we've seen him shacht a few times, that's okay, l'charchila. As long as we know he shachted a few times beforehand, velonis alit, and he did not faint during the shechita. This is one of the pshatim in the first tosis, that why women can't shacht, because they're more grossed out by gory situations, and therefore we're worried. But that's what a muchzak is. We know that he doesn't, he's not faint. But if he did not shacht in front of us, maybe he's going to faint. You could be a great textbook Jew. I'm never going to be a shochet. I know my limits. You know, my 5 boys, Baruch Hashem, I gave to Lahavdil. I let him mow. I made my shliach the moel. You know, I could talk about shechita all day. But to get into the schlachthaus, maybe it's my chisaron. It's not for me. The moel, I'll let the moel do it. But again, here too, Shemi Yisalaf. You can learn about it for so long, but if he doesn't shecht, he doesn't shecht. So says that's the Bidyeva line. The first line is that as long as he's a muchzak, even if you don't know if he knows all the halachas beforehand. Second line, if you didn't see him shecht, lecharchili, you should. It'd be him shachad, the amar. But if he did shecht, then he says, bari li shalonis alafti. I'm sure that I didn't faint, I didn't stop in the middle, shkitasok sheira. Then that is okay, but the evan. Chutz mi chereshot of a katan. Except for a chereshot of a katan, da filo di evan namilo. Because even the evan, it is, even b'di'eved, he is not allowed to shecht. Shem yishu, shem yidusu, shem yechlidu. Because maybe they did a psal shechita. Finishing up, v'kulun sheshachtu ahai. What is that last line going on? As we referred to a few times, ilei ma'cherichot of a katan. If it's referring just to the cherichot of a katan, alakoy, that's what we're referring to. V'im shachtu mi ba'ilei. So it should say v'im shachtu. So elei must be referring to what it was talking about earlier in the Mishnah. Ashein muchzakin. We're talking about the case where he's not muchzak in front of you. V'ha'amid b'barli sagi. 1 second. But we said, if it's going on the non-muchzak, so he said, as long as he says, I didn't faint, that is good enough. You don't need somebody standing in front of him. So the lesson will come under the shaylei. He's not there for us to ask. Adkan 6 pshatim of the Mishnah. Let's just go 2 more minutes to finish up this section. The Gemara now goes into, what does each shita have, why does each shita not reject the other one? What's wrong with each of these 6 shitas? So now that we've done the past blot and a half, this goes quickly. We know this. Ravina, we're just going to reject an assumption of each of the shitos. Ravina, Rabba bar Ula, Ka'abaya, Rabba Rashi, Lo Amri. Ravina and Rabba bar Ula does not hold of those 3 opinions. Mishum Dakasha Luhu Vakulan. Because the last line of the Mishnah, Vakulan, that means line number 4, and we ended off with a problem, right? We had a couple of answers that ended off Kasha. So that's why they didn't give that answer. Kulhu karaba bar ula lo amri. They all did not like rabba bar ula, which was the first pshat. Why? Lahachlish, this was yet what we did the last lines of yesterday's daf. Lahachlish da amrit hacha ikr. Remember we said the same halacha about a tami shechting appears here and in a mishnah in zvachim. So according to the one that says, It appears here because here is the ikker source in Shas. Adarabah hasam ikker the bekachim koi. So they would argue and say, no, that Mishnah in Zvachim is the ikker source because that's kachim. Lahachlish at the amrit hasam ikker, and according to the one that said that Mishnah in Zvachim is ikker, again, this is referring to what we did yesterday. Vehacha, and over here, I did tana tami bechul and tana nami tami bekachim, and it just throws that halacha in there, in here, just derech agav. Tami bechul and gufei lo etzrichalei. No, then we can just say the whole thing is extra in our Mishnah. Why? Chulin shenasa altaras hakodesh dafka kodesh damu. Because just because chulin that you want to eat with the standards of kachim is not treated like kachim. We reject an assumption that came up on yesterday's daf. Period. So next, let's just do one more line, and then we'll have to come back to this tomorrow. This is a huge discussion in the Rishonim. Kulu kravina lo amri. Why did the other shitas not like Ravina? Ravina number 5. So, lahachlishna da amar mumchin in shein mumchin lo, according to the one that said that lechadchila you could have a mumche, an expert and not a non-expert, that was number 5. So he said that doesn't work. Why? Rov mitzuin eitzo shchita mumchin hein. Because most people that are doing shchita, we could assume they're mumchin. Who else would be doing shchita? So you don't have to say, oh, if he's not a mumche, if he's doing shchita, there's a rov that he's a mumche. And therefore you can't be machalik between a mumche and a non-mumche. Number 1. And according to the one that says that if somebody is, this was number 6, muchzakin we betrust lachadchila and non muchzak lo, la'alufa lo chashinan, that line 2 of the Mishnah wouldn't work because you don't have to be worried that people are going to faint. That's not achshash, a normal achshash. If somebody's going to faint, you know, it might work that they wouldn't be doing shchita in the first place. So that's why Ravina would be the problems that each of the shitas have with Ravina. You know, we're going to talk about Rav Mitzuyin a lot tomorrow to start off the shiur. Let's just finish up to the two dots. Rav lo amar k'abaya kikushya. Rav didn't hold like Abaya because of the problem that Abaya had. Abaya was answer number 2 that ended up with the question. Abaya lo amar k'rava. Abaya didn't like Rava. Rava who gave the third answer, who compared it to the Yayin Nesach case. Hasam lo naga hachanaga. He said you can't compare Yayin to wine. By the wine, when the Jew leaves the store, the guy's not touching the wine. By the animal, he's holding it and he's about to shecht it. So you can't compare those two. Rav Ashi lo amar kitravayu. Rav Ashi did not say like those two, Abaye and Rava. Why? Ksara kusim gerei arayu same. He argues on the whole premise. Remember that we said at the beginning, kusim are not true converts. They're gerei arayu. They're not gerei emes. They forget the whole thing. They're like goyim. Abaye lo amar k'Rav Ashi lo svir lehadarava. Abaye didn't hold like Rav Ashi because he does not hold of Rava. Rava who said a mumer lati avon, you could trust his shchita. And finally, Ela Rava, my time will amar kishmaitzi. Why didn't Rava, who gave answer number 2, say answer number 4, which was based on his own shita? So my answer is, L'dvar d'abai kamer v'leilo sfirelei. Because he was just going, you're right, I have my own answer. But even if you don't hold with me, I'll give you another answer. L'dvar d'abai kamer. Okay, period. That takes us through the 6 answers of the first Mishnah in Chulin, and why each one doesn't hold to the other one. What we have to discuss tomorrow is this principle of Rov Mitzuyin Eitzo Shchita Mumchen Hein. I'll just leave you with the question of the Rishonim. How could you rely on this Rov? We say Rov or Mumchen, and therefore you could trust that the Shchita was done properly. It's against a Cheskas Isser. While the animal's alive, it's a non-kosher animal. An animal is not a kosher when it's alive. You can't take a bite out of an animal. So therefore, we're saying rove people that are involved in shchita are mumchin, and therefore you can trust that the shchita was done properly. Rove usually does not work when it's against a cheskas isser, when it's trying to get over a state of isser. So that's the question that the Rishonim deal with. That Be'ez Hashem we will talk about. Okay, we'll stop here. Be'ez Hashem, Pashur Shiur will be tonight, and we will continue.